Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Hey guys, what's up? This is Josh Norman.
This is Joe Gibbs.
You listen to Redskins Talk
with J.P. Finley.
Deep shot, Smith. He's got Hill. Touchdown! Alex Smith puts it exactly where it needs to be, and he hits big play Tyreek Hill for the score.
Fourth touchdown of the day for Smith.
What up, everybody? J.P. Finley, Redskins Talk Podcast here. If you have paid attention over the last week or so, there has been a lot said, written, tweeted, thought about Kirk Cousins and Alex Smith and who is the better fit for the Redskins and how will the Redskins look with Alex Smith under center and with Kirk Cousins playing elsewhere. Two of kind of the foremost thought leaders on this topic have been Doug Farrar of Bleacher Report and Andy Benoit of MMQB. Both guys are film experts. Both guys are QB experts. Both guys really know their stuff when they talk about these guys. And interestingly enough for us, both guys have pretty opposite opinions on what's going to happen for the Redskins. So I got both of them. And I thought I was going to be able to put this into one podcast, but both of the interviews were so in-depth and so nuanced that I'm breaking them up. And there's going to be two separate podcasts. So right now, you're going to listen to Doug Farrar make the case that the Redskins are going to be better with Alex Smith. And he's going to explain exactly why that is the case. So listen to that right now after this quick word.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So, what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
Doug Farrar, the lead scout over at Bleacher Report, one of the best authorities on quarterbacks in the NFL, I think, out there. I really enjoy Doug's stuff. Doug, thanks for joining us, man. How you doing?
My pleasure. Appreciate the kind words.
We've DM'd enough that you know what I'd like to discuss, and a lot of it started, I guess, last weekend when you had a pretty comprehensive Twitter thread talking about Kirk Cousins and Alex Smith and how you think Alex will perform in the Redskins offense and what you thought of Kirk's game. What's the better place for you to start on that spectrum?
Well, I remember we were at this media party during Super Bowl week in Minneapolis when the Cousins trade happened. So the next morning I started watching, or the Smith trade, excuse me, and I started watching Smith tape, kind of trying to reinforce and refurbish what I had seen throughout the year. And the number one thing that came across to me, and I think the common perception of Kirk Cousins and Alex Smith is that they're both kind of level two guys, sort of in the Andy Dalton but better area, that they can make plays. They sort of need a team around them. But I remember watching Smith through the 2017 season, looking at Pro Football Focus stats, and, you know, he tied with Tom Brady and Russell Wilson for the most passes over 20 yards in the air last year in the regular season with 33.
Yeah.
It took him 20 fewer attempts to get that than Wilson and 40 fewer attempts than Brady.
Wow, so that's a good stat.
Who was, so not only did he break the narrative of he's going to leave plays on the field, he's afraid to throw the deep ball, but he was phenomenally accurate. And the thing I noticed about Cousins, and I brought this up in the thread, and it'll be it's on the Kirk Cousins piece on Bleacher Report now. It's not that I'm saying that Cousins isn't a good quarterback. He's improved so much from his Michigan State tape when I thought he was like a top-level backup kind of guy.
He's coming out of the draft, you're saying?
Yeah, so he's shown his ability to work hard, to be coached, and all that. But especially in the red zone, and I always refer back to the interception he threw into triple coverage against the Broncos in Week 16. Actually, it was double coverage because Chris Harris Jr. realized that if he got in the middle of all the Broncos trying to intercept the pass, he might actually interfere with the interception. And wow, that was, you know, and you can see a lot of these in the red zone. I think, I mean, the bottom line is when I watched the tape and I went back and watched Smith and Cousins pretty heavily, the conclusion I came to is that Alex Smith, and he's been playing in the league a lot longer. He's been, you know, first overall pick in 2005. But Alex Smith, and you start to understand why the Redskins may have made this deal. They were probably looking at a lot of plays. Their staff was looking at a lot of plays where Cousins was just late on the throw, like one step late, one tick late. And that's all it takes in the NFL because things happen so quickly, especially in the red zone where everything's compressed. Cousins was late on a lot of stuff. He was a bit indecisive. He didn't either trust his arm or trust his receivers, or not cognitive issues, but just reading where things were going. And the football term is, do you throw your receivers open? Do you provide them with a favorable kind of space on the field to catch that ball? Smith did that tremendously. And yes, he had better receivers than Cousins last year, but I think Alex Smith has taken kind of a next level step, not only in deep passing, but what I call functional velocity, which is where you can zip it in there at the right time and you're throwing with anticipation where the receiver will be. And I would imagine that Jay Gruden and his staff looked at the Smith ideal and said, we're going to have plays, especially in the red zone, work that did not work last year.
Well, and I mean, if there's been a knock on Kirk, it's throwing into tight areas or waiting for a guy to get open. I don't know if this made your radar, but this the 2017 season, it seemed more than we had heard in the previous 2 years with Kirk as starter, that Gruden started to show some frustration with Kirk's lack of making plays. And Gruden, at one point, Kirk made a joke like, yeah, you know, if I threw the ball every time Jay wanted me to, I'd have 20 interceptions. And Jay responded, 20 interceptions, well, he might have 60 touchdowns. And I'm curious what your take is. It was a great line.
Ouch.
It was a great line. And that's one of the most fun things about covering Jay Gruden is that he's funny, man. And he's quick-witted and he always has a good line. But I'm curious what you think about, there's been a suggestion, and it was Sean Salisbury that kind of started that proposed this idea that maybe Kirk was holding back a little bit in 2017, waiting on a big payday. And we had Junior Gallette on one of our TV shows here, and he said, man, that's human nature. If you know you're staring at $130, $140 million, maybe you play it a little safer. Do you think maybe that entered into things for Kirk last season?
Well, when you look at his tape at Michigan State, he was a one-read guy. It was a pretty simple offense. And, I've studied Bill Walsh for so long, and I remember there was one play, Mike Holmgren was telling a story when he was Walsh's offensive coordinator in the late 80s. And Joe Montana threw a pass to Jerry Rice in practice, and it looked perfect. And Walsh was upset because Montana hit the zero instead of the eight on the front of Rice's jersey. And
wow,
the point of that story is that, that's why you're the best coach of all time, because you sweat these details. And the West Coast offense, which Jay Gruden purveys, and, of course, John Gruden, you know, that whole lineage, it's so important to throw your receiver open because everything is predicated on the number of steps in a receiver's route versus when the quarterback's back foot hits on the last step of his drop. And that timing has to be perfect. And I don't know I can't get into Kirk Cousins' head and his psychology and say, oh, I'm holding back because I want a contract. It would seem to me that if he's looking at that contract, you want to make as many anticipatory throws as possible.
As many big plays, right?
Right. But what I saw from him was not an inability, but he's still sort of coming to terms with the idea that the receiver isn't there yet, and I have to throw it there anyway.
Yeah.
And I go back to the Denver interception, two of the three interceptions, the Kelvin Shepherd interceptions in the Giants game in Week 17.
Those were both awful.
I mean, the third one where there was a mesh concept, the two crossers, and the running back lost his footing, so he was a step off. And this was the other thing. I think Cousins has a bit of trouble adapting. Like, if something goes wrong, he still sort of, he retreats for that split second, as opposed to an Andrew Luck, or I remember that was Andrew Luck's pro day at Stanford, and it was a really slippery field, and a couple times his receivers slipped off of their route timing. And Andrew Luck, and yes, it's 7, he's not getting pressure except for George Whitfield hitting him with those, rubber pool things.
Right, right, right.
But he was able to, like, mid-step, as he was throwing, he would adjust to the receiver. You see this from the best quarterbacks in history, Brady, Manning, Breeze, whoever, Aaron Rodgers. And I think Kirk is still kind of in the place of, I need to be a see-it-and-throw-it guy. I see it, and then I throw it. I see it, then I throw it. Very few see-it-and-throw-it passers are among the best in the NFL. I mean, Jay Cutler is one of those guys, and he's gotten by because he has this phenomenal arm talent.
It's a rocket, right?
And Kirk really doesn't. Kirk needs to, he needs to exist in the structure and the timing of the offense as it's given to him. And so I can understand Jay Gruden's frustration with that, because he's in a West Coast passing offense where the whole point of the thing is to time everything up and sync everything up with your receivers. And there were times when he just didn't do that.
Sure. So I want to move on to Alex, but I want to ask you this with Kirk. Is why do you think guys, and guys that really know offense, I mean, Kyle Shanahan is going to put up prolific numbers almost everywhere he goes. Sean McVay, look at what he did his first year in L.A. Both of those guys love Kirk and see kind of, you know, to borrow a phrase from MJ, the ceiling is the roof with Kirk Cousins, if you're talking to McVay or you're talking to Kyle. What is it those guys see in Kirk that maybe you're not or others aren't?
Well, they probably see what I was talking about before, the progression he's made from Michigan State to the 2017 season. And
gotcha.
It's important to remember, he lost his two best receivers in free agency, and the Redskins didn't really replace them.
No.
I mean, they tried with Pryor, but that didn't work out. So, you know, I think what they see is a guy, because they're not just looking at him from, you know, all 22 on game pass like I am. They're in the room with him every day. They see how hard he works. They see how much he wants it. And I have no doubt that that's the case. So they're looking at his ceiling as in, I coach this guy every day. I know what he's capable of because I know how much he digs into the film and how hard he works. So if that's the case, a guy like Shanahan or a guy like McVay, you know, no surprise to me that both of them are very high on him. And you know, there's nothing to say that he can't
continue to improve. Right.
Yeah. And a lot of it's going to be, I mean, if I'm Kirk Cousins, put it this way, I'm looking at Minnesota's $50 million in cap room. I'm looking at that offensive line, healthy Dalvin Cook coming back, Stephon Diggs and Adam Thielen. I got John DeFilippo as my offensive coordinator. I'm begging the Vikings to make an offer. If he goes to the Jets, it's a little more fraught. This is a guy who needs a team around him. But when he has that, I mean, he's over the last 2 years among the top 10 in most important statistical boundaries. So
right.
He's proven that he can do it. He just needs to do it with more anticipation and with, you know, just that little next level of sort of cognitive ability in my mind.
All right. So looking at Alex Smith, I did kind of a statistical breakdown of Kirk and Alex based on the last three seasons. You know, once Alex got to Kansas City, mastered the offense, kind of became the player he is now, I think. You know, you can look at his first 5 years in San Fran, but the numbers are so all over the place. And when you look at Kirk, you can look at his first couple of years when he's backing up RG3 and then he starts getting some starts. But, I mean, those numbers were terrible. He was throwing picks all over. So I think the last 3 years are kind of the fair comp for those two guys. And, you know, the numbers are really similar, just that Smith is throwing the ball way less.
Yeah.
I think the biggest question for Redskins fans, Alex Smith, to me, undeniably better than Kirk Cousins in 2017. The previous 2 years, I think you can make an argument for Kirk. Will the Redskins fans get 2017 Alex Smith in Washington in 2018?
I think a lot of that depends on the scheme. I was talking to Frank Reich, who was the Eagles offensive coordinator and, of course, is now the Colts head coach.
Well, and most importantly, he's a Maryland grad like me.
There you go. and I was talking to him a lot during Super Bowl week, just kind of getting a sense of the Eagles offense and, you know, beyond the RPOs and what's really going on there. And he brought up a really interesting thing that Doug Peterson had mentioned. When Peterson was in Kansas City as Andy Reid's offensive coordinator, I mean, Peterson was a more typical West Coast guy. And it was really Alex Smith who, remember, played in a spread offense with Urban Meyer at Utah.
Yep.
It was Alex Smith who brought a lot of those concepts to Peterson. A lot of that backfield motion, the fake fly sweeps, and, you know, their version of the run-pass options, and actually pass-pass options, and all that stuff, Alex Smith brought to the table. And if you watch Chiefs tape, it's very clear that backfield stuff really messed up linebacker and safety pass reads and made things a lot more open and available for Smith. He got a lot of favorable first and second reads. So I would imagine that at some point, Gruden and Smith are going to sit down and Smith is going to say, okay, this is what I did in Kansas City. And it's a very similar West Coast. You can watch Chiefs and Redskins tape. You see a lot of the same concepts. I doubt very much that Smith will have to change his verbiage that much. And that's a huge deal.
Yeah.
But I would imagine Smith is going to say to Gruden, or Gruden might say to Smith, hey, we want to take some of these concepts and bring them into the Redskins offense and make our offense even more dangerous. I would expect to see that, and I'll be really interested to see how Gruden implements a lot of what Kansas City did in 2017, because if you want 2017 Alex Smith going into the future, you're going to have to put that stuff in there because it was a huge, and it's really where the league is going.
Yeah.
It's an advanced passing game with quote-unquote spread option concept.
So my colleague here and former Redskins player Brian Mitchell has said that, hey, Alex can be really good, but he needs a run game. He needs a run game that will work. And I think you could say that about a lot of quarterbacks, but B. Mitch
pretty much everyone but Aaron Rodgers and Russell Wilson.
Exactly, really. But the Skins haven't had that in some time. Do you think he can open up the run game for them? Or will they have to change some things to make it work for Alex and to run the ball better?
Well, it goes back to what I said with your last question about having less of a static pre-snap look. And really what the Chiefs did, what the Eagles did, you know, what the Seahawks do on the 1 of 15 plays where their offensive line doesn't fall apart. when you're creating that mesh point in a play action, in a play fake, in an RPO, whatever it may be, that mesh point, you're creating anxiety for the linebackers, for the strong safety, for the slot corner. You're saying, what do I commit to? You know, if a defensive lineman is going back in the zone blitz, you're taking that unblocked defensive lineman and you're saying, I'm going to put you on a string with my, you know, play action, with my play fakes, with your defensive uncertainty. I think the Redskins can do a lot more to create that kind of defensive uncertainty. And as I said, I would imagine and I would hope, Gruden being the smart coach that he is, he and Smith will be talking about how to put those defenders on strings. And that's how you open up the ground game and the passing game. Really, you're really opening everything up with that.
And I know you got to run. Two things. I saw somebody had a report that some front office person was questioning a nameless front office person was questioning the Redskins.
It's always an anonymous guy.
Right. The Redskins paying up for Alex and getting a contract extension done. I contend that getting a contract extension done with Alex Smith is wildly smart. And once we finally see this contract, I'm guessing that really only 2 years of it are going to be guaranteed. So you're looking at Alex Smith in 2018 for $17 million, and then it'll probably work itself out to about 21 or 22 for the next two seasons. I think that makes a ton of sense. I mean, I think AJ McCarron's going to sign for $20 million a year, and the guy's played three games. You know,
which
like
is crazy,
right? What do you think of the contract extension for Smith?
Well, I mean, what did Jimmy Garoppolo just get?
Right, 27.
And I think Garoppolo is a great quarterback.
I do too.
And I don't believe he's only played five games. Blah blah blah. I've seen enough to know that he can be special.
Like, I don't base my contention on Alex Smith's deal making sense on Garoppolo because I wonder if the Niners maybe got a deal on Garoppolo. I base it on Mike Glennon getting $18 million. You know what I mean? It's on the other side
that
of this
was
thing.
That was a pretty historic mistake.
Right.
But when you look at Smith, when you look at the importance of that position, when you look at the salary cap, which is going to even out of, like, I think $180 million in a 2018 league year, this isn't, you know, it isn't 2004 where it's, you know, $80 million and we're having to discount quarterbacks. This is a completely different league.
Right.
So if they can get Alex Smith for $17 million a year, I take that every day twice on Sunday and I laugh all the way to the bank.
There you have it. All right, last one for you. Where does Kirk Cousins end up, and is it above or below $30 million a year?
If he's smart, he'll go below and he'll wind up in Minnesota.
Where will he end up?
I've heard all these reports that the Jets are going to do a full power play. But Cousins has said, you know, he was talking to Charlie Weiss, I guess. I heard this report a couple weeks ago. I want to go to a winner. I don't think Jacksonville has the cap space to get what he wants. I think Minnesota does. And, you know, I would say either Jacksonville or Minnesota, with Minnesota as the lead dog, unless he just wants someone to back up a Brinks truck to his house, and then he goes to the Jets.
It'll be interesting.
Smart, he goes to Minnesota.
But, I mean, isn't Bortles going to be under contract for them? Because I don't think he'll be able to pass a physical in Jacksonville.
Yeah, that's, well, we don't know.
Right. That's it.
and that's the kind of thing, because that's a Super Bowl team minus the quarterback.
Right.
So we'll see how they finagle that.
I wrote about this just because I couldn't escape. The quote was just playing in my head. Last year on DC Radio, Cousins said this, because he's said for a while now, it's not all about money, I want to win. But I couldn't stop hearing this one quote. There's other quarterbacks that come after you, and it would be almost a selfish move to hurt future quarterbacks who get in a position to have a contract. If you don't take a deal that's fair to you, then you're also taking a deal that's not fair to them, and you're setting them back as well. So with that in mind, I don't expect him to take much less money than the max anyway.
No, that's only something his agent put in his head.
Sure. Doug, man, how do people follow you on Twitter?
By the way, ask Tom Brady about that.
Right. It's worked for him, but he's the exception.
Yes.
Doug, how do people follow you, get more Doug Farrar in their life?
There is all the article archives on Bleacher Report, and you can follow me on Twitter at @BR_DougFarrar, F-A-R-R-A-R.
And make sure you check out the article Doug just wrote about Kirk and all his film study. It's great stuff. Thank you very much for joining us, dude. Really appreciate it.
Thanks, man.